My father's parents' house was a little less than 2 hours away by car. It was a farming house, but I liked that sort of thing. So when I started high school and I got a bike, I often went on trips there by myself in the summer and winter holidays. Both my grandfather and grandmother happily welcomed me. "We're so happy that you're here." However, the last time I went there was just before I started third grade of high school. So I haven't been there in over 10 years now. It's not that I won't go, but I rather can't go. It was the start of the spring vacation, and the weather was perfect, so I got on my bike and went to my grandfather's house. It was still a little cold, but the veranda was pleasantly warm, so I relaxed there for a while. Then, paw, 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 paw. I heard this strange sound. It didn't sound like a machine. It sounded like it was coming from a person. In addition to that, it was kind of like it was both a voice constant and half-voiced at the same time. What was that? I wondered. And then I saw a hat over the top of the garden hedge. There's no reason it would have been put up there. Then it started to move, sideways. Then it reached a gap in the hedge, and I saw a woman. Ah, that woman was wearing a hat. She was also wearing a white one-piece dress. However, the hedge was about 2 meters high. If her head could pop out over the top of that, just how tall was she? I was shocked. But she started moving again and disappeared from the view. The hat also disappeared. Then at some point, the paw, paw, paw sound also stopped. At the time, I didn't think much of it. Then perhaps an already tall woman was wearing some soled boots, or perhaps a tall man dressed up as a woman in high heels. Afterwards, I was in the living room drinking tea when I told my grandfather and grandmother about what had happened. "I just saw this really big woman. I wonder if it was just a man cross-dressing," I said. They just replied, "Oh yeah." She was bigger than the hedge. She was wearing a hat and she was making the strange sound like paw, paw, paw. At the moment I said it, the two of them froze, like they stopped moving at the exact same time. After that, my grandfather's face contorted, and he threw a barrage of angry questions at me. "When did you see her? Where did you see her? How much taller than the hedge was she?" I answered this barrage of questions. Then he suddenly fell silent and went to the phone in the hallway and called somewhere. The sliding door was closed, so I couldn't hear what he was saying very well. My grandmother was visibly shaken. Having finished this phone call, my grandfather returned. "You'll stay here tonight." "No, there's no way we can let you return tonight," he said. "Have I perhaps done something awful?" I worried, but I couldn't think of anything. It's not like I went to see that woman by myself. She was just the one who appeared to me. Then my grandfather said, "Grandma, I'm leaving him to you now. I'm gonna pick up Kaysan," and took off in his truck. Timidly, I asked my grandmother about it, and she said in a trembling voice, "It seems you've been possessed by Hashaku-sama. Your grandfather's gonna do something about it. There's no need to worry." After that, she told me bit by bit until my grandfather returned. In this area, there was something called Hashaku-sama. Hashaku-sama took on the appearance of a tall woman. Just like her name suggested, she was about 8 shaku feet tall, and had a strange manly laugh that went paw, paw, paw. Depending on the person, she might appear as a young woman in a mourning dress, or an old lady in a formal kimono, or even middle-aged woman in farm clothes. While her appearance was always different things, she always had in common was her incredible height, the fact that she always wore something on her head, and her strange laugh. In the past, there were rumors of her being a possessed traveler, but no one knew for sure. She was sealed in this area, now it's a part of O City, but in the past, it was a part of a larger section of X Village, by Jizo statues, so she's unable to leave. When you were possessed by Hashaku-sama, you were killed within a few days. The last time Hashaku-sama hurt someone was 15 years ago. I heard this after the fact. But the reason she was sealed in by the Jizo statues was because Hashaku-sama could only leave the village by certain paths. Nobody knows why. And so they enshrined the Jizo statues in those particular paths. They were to prevent her leaving, but apparently they were placed in four locations, on the boundaries of the east, west, and the north and south. As to why they would even try keep Hashakusama trapped there, apparently there was an arrangement with the nearby villages where they got, for example, priority to water rights, and such Hashakusama only appeared to bother people every 10 or so years. So the people who lived there in the past found it to be an advantageous deal. Even hearing that, there was no way it could be real. Of course, I thought, of course not. Before long, my grandfather returned with an old woman in tow. Well, haven't you got yourself into a fine mess? Here, take this, the old lady said, and handed me a talisman. Then she went upstairs with my grandfather to do something. My grandmother stayed behind with me. Even when I went to the toilet, she went with me and wouldn't let me close the door the whole way. For the first time since being there, I started to think, maybe this really is dangerous. A short while later, they called me up to the second floor and put me in a small room. The windows were entirely covered up with old newspaper, and the talismans were on piles of salt in all four corners. There was a small wooden box, not something you'd really call an altar or anything. And on top was a small statue of Buddha. Then, I don't know where that came from, but there were two bedpans prepared as well. I suppose I was supposed to go in those? The sun's about to set. Listen, you can't leave this room until tomorrow morning. Neither myself nor your grandmother will call you or try to speak to you, okay? You must, under no circumstances, leave this room until 7 a.m. tomorrow. At 7 a.m. you can come out by yourself. I'll call and let your parents know, my grandfather said, with a serious look on his face. I could do nothing but nod silently in agreement. Make sure you do exactly as what we just said. Keep that talisman close as well. If anything happens, go and pray before the Buddha, Kei-san said. They said it was okay to watch TV, so I turned it on. But even as I watched it, my mind wandered and I couldn't focus being locked in the room. I didn't feel like eating the onigiri or the snacks my grandmother made for me. So I just turned on the futon and laid there, trembling. At some point I fell asleep. But when I woke up, I don't remember what was on. Some late night TV program was on. And then when I looked at my watch, it was past 1 a.m. At this time I didn't have a cell phone. What an awful time to wake up, I thought, when I heard something tapping at the window glass. It wasn't like a small rock hitting it. It was more like a finger rapping across the surface. I couldn't decide whether the wind could make a sound like that, or if it was really a person tapping on the windows. I tried to believe with all my might that it was really just the wind, when I heard my grandfather's voice. Hey, are you okay? Don't push yourself too hard if you're scared, okay? Without thinking, I walked towards the door, but then I remembered what my grandfather said to me. What's wrong? You can come out if you want. The voice sounded exactly like my grandfather, but it wasn't him. I don't know why, but I just knew. And as I realized that, I got goosebumps. I looked over at the pile of salt in the corner, and the top had turned black. I ran at full speed to the Buddha and sat down in front of it. Grasping the talisman, I started to pray as hard as I could. Please help me, then. Pull, pull, pull. I heard the voice, and the window started rapping. Ton, 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 ton. I knew she wasn't that tall, but I couldn't stop picturing her in my mind. I reached out from below, and the tapping window. On the window, there was nothing I could do but keep praying in front of the Buddha. The night felt unbelievably long, but eventually morning came. And at some point, the TV had been left on and started playing the morning news. And then I saw the time on the corner of the screen, said 7:13 a.m. I hadn't even noticed, but both the tapping on the glass and the voice had stopped. It seemed I'd either fallen asleep or lost consciousness. The pile of salt had turned even more black. Just in case, I looked at my own watch, and it said roughly the same time. So I nervously opened the door, and my grandmother and Kei-san were standing there looking worried. My grandmother was crying. I'm so glad, I'm so glad. When I went downstairs, my father was also there. My grandfather appeared from outside and told me to hurry up and get in the car. I don't know where it came from, When I was out into the garden, there was a minivan there. There was also several men standing in the garden. The van fit 9 people. I was put in the middle seat. Kason sat in the passenger seat, and the rest of the men in the garden got in and surrounded me. There were 9 of us in total. I was surrounded in all directions. It's terrible, isn't it? You'll probably be curious, but I want you to close your eyes and keep your head down. We won't be able to see anything, but perhaps you will. Until we say it's okay, just keep your eyes shut. An old man, in his 50s, sitting to my right, said to me. Then my grandfather got in his mini truck to take the lead, followed by the van I was in, and my father followed in his car as we set off. The line of cars drove rather slowly. They probably weren't even going over 20 kilometers an hour. Before long, Kason muttered, "This is the hard part." And the men started chanting some sort of Buddhist prayer. "Poor, poor, 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 poor." I heard that voice again. I gripped the talisman Kason gave me and closed my eyes and put my head down like I was told. But for some reason, I opened my eyes just a little and looked outside. I saw a white dress. It was moving amongst the car side. She was following with such long strides. Hey, her head was outside the window, so I couldn't see it. But then she started bowing her head down like she was trying to see inside the car. Unconsciously, I let out a "hee" sound. "Don't look," the man next to me raised his voice. In a panic, I squeezed my eyes shut and gripped the talisman even tighter. "Kotsu, kotsu, kotsu." A tapping sound on the window began. The people in the car around me also gasped in fear. Even though they couldn't see or hear her voice, they could hear the sound on the window. Kason started praying even harder. Finally, when I thought the voice sounds had stopped, Kason said, "We got away." Then the men around me, who had been quiet until that point, were relieved and said, "Thank goodness." Soon after, the van stopped on a wide part of the road. I got in my father's car. As my father and my grandfather bowed to the other men, Kason came over and said, "Show me the talisman." I was still unconsciously gripping it. When I looked at it, it had turned entirely black. Kason said, "I think it's all okay now, but just in case, you should keep this for a little while longer," and gave me a new talisman. After that, I returned home with my father. A few days later, my grandfather and one of his neighbors brought my bike back. Apparently, my father also knew about Hashakusama, and he told me about one of his childhood friends was possessed by her and then killed. He even knew of people that had to move away and live in other places because of her. The men who rode in the car were all related to my grandfather in some way, which meant they were all very loosely in my blood relatives as well. Of course, my grandfather riding in the front and my father riding in the back were connected by blood as well. So they were all meant to confuse Hashakusama somewhat from me. My father's brothers, my uncles, were unable to come over in a single night, so they gathered whatever blood relatives they could, no matter how loosely related we were. But of course, it was still impossible to get so many men together so quickly, and thinking it much safer to leave during the day than night, I was imprisoned in that room for the night. In a worst-case scenario, apparently both my grandfather and father were prepared to sacrifice themselves for me as we escaped as well. Now, as I explained above, I make sure not to go back there anymore. After I returned home, I spoke to my grandfather on the phone and asked him if he spoke to me on that night, but he said that he didn't. So it really was her. I got chills down my spine thinking about it again.